Blog Talk Radio.
On that last 2 seconds. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. And you never know, maybe a Twisted Mister or two. And I hope everyone's having a great week. Hey, Pam, how are you tonight? And hello, Puddles. How are you?
Hey, Jean. Hey, Pam.
Hello, hello. Doing great. Good to hear you both.
I'm glad to hear me, too. What a day. Tell you, one thing after another around here at this house. Oh,
yeah.
What do you do? What do you do? What do you
yep.
Do?
You certainly love sharing at your house, especially other illnesses.
Everybody's got something a little bit different than each have something a little bit different. And I think what happens is each time we get it, we can't have the same thing. So, yeah. Night was pretty unusual for me. I'm like, whoa. So I just couldn't wait to get past it, which thank God it didn't take forever. And everybody else is still walking around coughing and hanging. They have no voices this week like I had before. Yeah, that's them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. They don't need to talk. It makes my life much quieter. Just saying.
Yep.
Just saying. Wow. Okay, well, I don't know whose show it was supposed to be tonight. I'm not sure if it was Naomi's or yours, Pam. And Naomi, I hope you feel better. So, Pam, come on and tell us all about it.
Sure, absolutely. Well, obviously, as we all know, last week Blog Talk was having some phone problems, so we didn't get to do Twisted Tuesday show. So we moved last week's show, which was mine, to tonight. Yep. And it's actually the contest I ran and the show for tonight is in honor of International Children's Book Day, which is a yearly event that is observed on or around Hans Christian Andersen's birthday, which is April 2nd, which is why it was originally planned for last week. But it just so happened that I had a Tuesday on April 2nd. It's sponsored by the International Board on Books for Young People, which has been a nonprofit organization founded in 1967. And they have a wide variety of events that bookstores and libraries that feature story writing contests, public readings, and different events with children's authors. Now, obviously, we couldn't do anything that grand, but, you know, I thought, why not run a contest with quotes from a wide variety of children's authors throughout history? And most of them that I put up a quote for, and I only put up one per author, and obviously, you know, I can't do every single children's author throughout history. It would have just been way too much. As it was, I think I had like 23 quotes. Prompts, even just doing one quote per author in the contest, but I did one. I chose 23 different authors. Most of them, I think, are fairly well known. And then I told people that they could either choose a different quote from the same author, or if there was a children's author that they really liked not represented in the contest, of course, they were free to choose that. We just had to know what inspired them. And my thing is, the reason I really wanted to run this contest is because I feel like even those of us, like I tend to myself personally, I speak for myself, and I know there's other people like this too, write a lot of like dark or, you know, more edgy or adult poetry. But I think every single one of us has this nostalgia. And I shouldn't say every single one, but the majority of us have a nostalgia for a children's author that really impacted our life or our thinking. So, you know, with that, I have to say that I think most people agreed with me because the contest did end up filling up with 22 or 23 entries, something like that. We got both quality and quantity.
Nice.
And yes. And to consider someone a children's author, I didn't have them just be someone who wrote only children's books because it's really difficult to find that. But they had to write at least one children's book. Like, for example, I throw this out here because I didn't know this myself. One of my favorite children's books was Black Beauty. Surprisingly, the author who wrote that was the only children's book she ever wrote. But they put in a quote by her, and of course, you know, Dr. Seuss, Lewis Carroll, and the author, I'm not real good names, but the author of Peter Pan and so many others. So
all
I'm
right.
definitely looking forward to tonight's show.
Yeah. Well, very interesting. Very, very interesting. Actually, we do have some good rights, though, because there's some very talented poets to join in. And it's a nice idea for doing, you know, children's books and children's book day. I didn't even know there was such a thing, but you're the queen of the calendar. So,
I do like to keep track of things. If there's a national holiday on a Tuesday, I will know.
Yeah, I know. You find all kinds of stuff, all kinds of good stuff, though. It's not just junk. I mean, it's just interesting, you know. I never knew there was such a creature. But, yes, so, well, it sounds like it's going to be a fun night, that's for sure.
Absolutely. I agree.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. And, of course, well, I guess we'll go ahead and get the ball rolling. And,
sure.
All right. So, of course, we are going to start Tuesday with a classic poem, and that is Jabberwocky by Lewis Carroll. And Rex was nice enough to make a recording of that for us, so whenever you're ready, Gene.
Okay. You got it. Give me 1 second to get there. Do-do-do-do-do. Hey, it's right there. Imagine that. Here goes.
Jabberwocky by Lewis Carroll. 'Twas brillig and the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the borogoves and the mome raths outgrabe. Beware the Jabberwock, my son, the jaws that bite, the claws that catch. Beware the Jubjub bird and shun the frumious bandersnatch. He took his vorpal sword in hand. Long time the manxome foe he sought. So rested he by the tum-tum tree and stood a while in thought. And as in uffish thought he stood, the Jabberwock, with eyes aflame, came whiffling through the tulgey wood and burbled as it came. One, two, and through the vorpal blade went snicker-snack. He left it dead, and with its head he went galumphing back. And hast thou slain the Jabberwock? Come to my arms, my beamish boy. O frabjous day, calloo, callay, he chortled in his joy. 'Twas brillig, and the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wave. All mimsy were the borogoves, and mome raths outgrabe.
I absolutely just love that poem. Of course, there was a lot of children's poems to choose from, but I decided that the wordplay, you know, the completely made up, almost completely made up language, and the fun that Lewis Carroll had when writing Jabberwocky was the direction that I wanted to go. And then, of course, when I knew I wanted to put that poem up, I knew who I wanted to read it for me. Rex, I thought, did a wonderful job of that. The poem was perfect for his voice, his choice of background music with its lighthearted, light, yet, I don't know, it's kind of difficult to explain. Like, I feel like the music he chose with the higher piano notes was both light and eerie. Bravo on that, Rex. And, you know, I always enjoy Lewis Carroll and the Jabberwocky, because I think it appeals to both the young and the young at heart. It has a sense of adventure to it, you know, the idea of hunting down this Jabberwocky. And such great lines all the way through, but I really have fun with, he took his vorpal sword in hand, long time the maxim foe he sought, so rested he by the tum-tum tree and stood a while in thought. Wonderful vibe. And, of course, the word bandersnatch. Who doesn't love that? The frumious bandersnatch. And that's the reason I didn't read that poem, because I knew I would stumble over many of those words. But, just always a fun poem to read. And Puddles, your thoughts on this classic poem?
I was very grateful that Rex did that reading. I'm like, those are some complicated nonsense words. There's no way I could have read that. And I thought his music was very Twilight Zone, you know?
Yeah.
It added so much, I don't know, kind of spookiness to it. This is not a bedtime story I would have ever read my children. But it's kind of, for me, it's kind of like that adult story. But I do get what you're saying, Pam, about, you know, it does have a real sense of adventure, in a sense that you're going to slay the bad creature and, you know, save the village and save humanity. It has that in it. But, I thought Rex did a fabulous read of a really interesting poem.
Absolutely. great comment. And Jean, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I have to start off by saying, yeah, I agree. Rex did a great read of this. I've heard this read before, and I think that person had to do quite a few takes on it. Because, you know, with the words and the way it's presented, it's not a simple read, you know. But it is a great choice to start tonight. It's not a, as Puddle said, it's not a bedtime story per se, but it definitely has a lot of character and personality in it. And, you know, you're talking about things and you just make up words and, yeah, and make it something. And it works. And I think that, you know, and I know Lewis Carroll's waiting to hear this from me. I think he did a fabulous job putting it together. Okay. Thank you, Lewis.
Absolutely.
I know the check is but it really is one of those pieces that just, I don't know, it just works. And it's worked for years, and it'll work for years to come. You know, people say, what is that? You know, I don't know, but here we go. Let's read about it. And, you know, when you're done,
yep.
I don't know if you're any more inclined to know what a Jabberwocky is, but you definitely get a sense, you know. And I did like the choice of music. I thought that really handled it. It was a great underlay for it because it did have a bit of a, I don't know, kind of a, I guess, you know, Twilight Zone is a kind of a close thought of what I would say. But it definitely had a lot of almost an eerie, a bit of an eerie thought or sound behind it. But the words were a little lighter, and I don't know, and bits of the music was a little lighter. So I think you did a great job and on both sides. And a great choice, Pam, as always.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And, yeah, I have to agree. You know, and that was I have to say thank you to Rex because he went above and beyond because I just simply wanted a recording of somebody who I knew had a great reading voice and could mm-hmm. pronounce the words, even if it took him like 20 takes. I wasn't sure. I didn't ask him how many takes it took him. But to put in the background music, I thought was, you know, a wonderful touch. So
absolutely.
Very cool.
Absolutely.
Well, the next poem we have up is An Old Hippie by Vicky Moore. And Jean, would you go ahead and give that a read for us, please?
Sure to have here. An Old Hippie by Vicky Moore. I left my home at 18, a hippie, wild and free, traveling the country through hitchhiking and walking, camping under the stars, surrounded by people always, sharing everything we had, which was little enough. We chased rainbows, looked into the abyss of the Grand Canyon, spreading the message of peace and love. Feeling freedom in the wind, my friends changed daily, always spouting love, but none of them stayed for long. The world lay at my feet, fantastic things to see. I thought it was everything I wanted. Unconditional love was always back at home, so I went back to those who cared. End poem.
Great read there, Jean, and what a wonderful write by Vicky Moore, who wrote to... And Max, the king of all wild things, was lonely and wanted to be where someone loved him best of all by Maurice Sendak, which obviously is the author of Where the Wild Things Are. And Barb, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought that Vicky did a fabulous job of capturing the essence of that prompt quote. And I also think she captured that whole concept of how exploring the world is fine and a lot of things that people dream of doing, but in the end, it can be a very empty and lonely existence. And there's that invisible tether that draws you back home where you know you are understood and loved unconditionally, and that seems to be... Kind of, we have to go out into the big wild world to explore it, I think, to truly appreciate that some of the best stuff of life is back at home. And I thought Vicky did a really good job, a very poetic job of making that very clear in this piece. I love this part here where she was surrounded by people always, sharing everything we had, which was little enough. We chased rainbows, looked into the abyss of the Grand Canyon. And then you toddle down and says, but none of them stayed for long. You know, it's as the years go by, it's really amazing how many friends fall off and disappear into that abyss that you may have stared at together. So I thought Vicki did a really fine job of giving us a few scenes with a larger message.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. And that's a wonderful comment because you're right. You know, many of us, and not saying everyone, but many of us, you know, have that tether that keeps drawing us back to either the biological family or the, you know, the people that we were friends with in our younger years, you know, or the people who have shown that they really care about us. So great observation there. And Jean, you did a great read of that. Your thoughts?
You know, I thought it was a nicely penned piece by Vicki. A great story told, nice little story. It was compact. And I think we all tend to look away from home to find unconditional love. Only to find in most cases, that's where it's found. You know, that's where it starts. That's where we learn it. That's how we, you know, we learn to live it. I think actually that's where that desire comes from. You know, you're trying to find something familiar and something that you've been taught, you know, in your youth, but, you know, we all have to go find it out for ourselves. That's the way I feel about that. I don't know. It's just my opinion. But I picked it up here. The world lay at my feet. Fantastic things to see. I thought it was everything I wanted, but all I really wanted, unconditional love, was always back at home. So I went back to those who cared. And I think that's a great way to bring it back around. The story is cute and it holds your attention. I shouldn't say cute. That's not really the word I want. But it's good and it holds your attention all the way through, wanting to know the adventures. And then it turns around to the truth of the matter. And I think it was well done. So thank you, Vicki, for sharing with us. Nice job.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. And, yeah, I like what you had to say about how we keep getting drawn back. And, you know, there's something we're searching for. And I like how Vicki has captured the spirit of the story, Where the Wild Things Are, with the young child, Max, who runs away and, you know, is having all this fun, but puts it into a more realistic setting. Because I think many of us, you know, I know me, I was ready to leave home by the time I reached 12th grade. And, you know, go out and see the world. And, you know, I didn't get to see a whole lot of it, but, you know, that's all right. But, you know, so when she says, I left my home at 18, a hippie, wild and free, traveling the country through hitchhiking and walking, camping under the stars, you know, there's that idea that of experiencing things we haven't experienced before. But there is that search because we get that emptiness inside ourselves and we're trying to fill that emptiness. And so there is that realization that you need to get back as much as the world has to offer as far as experiences when it comes to filling the hole in your heart and finding that love of family. It's always, you know, wanting to go back. And I really liked when she had to say, my friends changed daily, always spouting love, but none of them stayed for long. And there's that realization that there is love in your life that is unconditional and permanent. And then there's the love of your life, love in your life that's just temporary. So amazing, right? And very well done. All right. And let's see what we have next. All right. Up next, we have I'm Eccentric, You Buffoons by Hikari. And Barb, would you go ahead and give that a read for us, please?
Absolutely. I'm Eccentric, You Buffoons. I'm not strange, weird, off, more crazy. Perhaps I'm just a little lazy, but I prefer the word eccentric to describe my fabulous aesthetic. Now, you might call me strange, but I'll tell you that's not so. And you might call me weird, but really, what do you know? I just like the view of the colors in sound flight as the sky is crowned in hues with their compelling sight. I just like the feel of the sounds in my chest as the chimes reveal the wonders of the mind so beautifully expressed. Now, you might call me off. Seriously, what a joke. And you might call me crazy. I believe that you've misspoke. I just like the moon glowing through the day. She makes all the men swoon with her dazzling display. I just like the sun shining through the night. He's a real load of fun and such a bright sight. I'm not strange, weird, off, nor crazy. I'll confess I'm, like, really lazy. But, oh, to be put simply, I'm no longer being silly. My reality is just different from yours. Oh, so very different from yours. And, my dear friend, you will soon see that you will very much agree with me. End poem.
Great read there, Barb, and what a absolutely wonderful and delightful write by Hikari, who was inspired by Lewis Carroll's quote, "I'm not strange, weird, off, nor crazy, but reality, my reality is just different from yours." And Jean, your thoughts?
I thought this was great. I loved the rhyme and meter throughout, and I thought The quote was met well in here. I think he's got it, the beginning of like three stanzas. I don't know. I think I saw it sometimes. But anyway, it doesn't matter. It was well done, and it was kind of captivating because of the rhyme and just the little bit of a story that was told throughout. I think it was nice. Where was I? I was down here. I'm not strange, weird, off, nor crazy. I'll confess I'm like really lazy. But oh, to put it simply, I'm no longer being silly. My reality is just different from yours, oh, so very different from yours. And my dear friend, you will soon see that you will very much agree with me. I really did like the rhyme in it, and Barbie did a great job reading it because you carried that rhyme well all the way through the read. But really nice job, and thank you very much, Hikari. I don't recognize this name, so maybe I just haven't been in the right place at the right time, but definitely, nice work.
Yeah, absolutely. No, she has a new name to me too. And I think she's pretty new on the website. So, always good to see a new name. Very cool. Very
absolutely.
Cool. And great comment. And Barb, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this was a marvelous poem about eccentricity. And, there's always that one person in your class growing up or, in your Bible study group or, at the library little reading group, wherever you are, there's that one person that just dresses a little off, thinks a little off, is socially awkward, just doesn't seem to fit in. And I think this is a fabulous poem to give that individual a voice that says, I may see things differently, but that doesn't make me strange. And I love that there's some pushback by this eccentric person saying it's just a matter of perspective. And wishing for things that perhaps are not of the norm, like wanting the sun to shine at night or the moon to shine during the day. I love those two verses. Where are they? I just like the moon glowing through the day. She makes all the men swoon with her dazzling display. I just like the sun shining through the night. He's a real load of fun and such a bright sight. So fun, really awesome rhyming, great imagery. And, I love that she gave the eccentric among us a voice.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep. And I really like those two stanzas, too, that mention the moon and the sun. First of all, I like them because they personify, you know, the moon and the sun. You know, and I especially like, because I have seen the moon out at daytime. I have not obviously seen the sun out at nighttime. I think if I did, that would be one of those moments where I'd be inclined to think perhaps, you know, it was an apocalyptic event and we were at the end of the world. But, well, I wasn't, you know.
I would think maybe I had one too many.
I keep surviving them. I keep surviving those apocalyptic events.
Thank God.
But yeah, right. Thank goodness. But yeah, her rhyme and flow in this is great. Such wonderful wordplay. She really captures the spirit of the quote. And such great word choices. Like, I love the use of the word aesthetic. I'm not strange, weird, off, nor crazy. Perhaps I'm just a little lazy. But I prefer the word eccentric to describe my fabulous aesthetic. You know, those are such wonderful lines. And then I just like the view of the colors and sound flight as the sky is crowned in hues with their compelling sight. I really like the idea of, you know, someone who's kind of like in their own world, has their own way of thinking. And, yeah, it definitely gives a voice to that person that thinks differently. And I think that's a beautiful thing. So wonderful, right, and very well done. All right. Let's see what we have next. And up next we have The Confusion of Exclusion by Liquid Mind Forever. If you have the courage to disbelieve, you will not deceive yourself with idioms or chartreuse beliefs. You can never fathom, dwell beneath isometric relief. Explain nothing, believe nothing's inherent wealth. It's all the same to heaven, don't use world leaven. To raise or raise, don't phase yourself or praise the men who defend or pretend to lend health. To sick theories or queries, defend nothing of nothing's inherent wealth. Up periscope the trope, shall we bind with ties or lie inside the maze, circling our bodies as parasites graze. For sustenance and vigor's wealth, self, all thought is misbegotten woes. Believe nothing's inherent wealth. Step lightly or be crushed beneath the feet of falling circumstance. Thought is trance, do not advance, but lance the boil on oiled moist shelf. Find joy or sorrow, borrow nothing. Tomorrow's nothing, inherent wealth. Laugh or cry, believe or defy, it's all the same, but different lie. Ally yourself with peaceful folly, be jolly by golly. Deck the halls with boughs, blue delf. Just be mightful elf of spiteful self. Believe nothing's inherent wealth. Use or lose, you choose. If you refuse, you look confused. It's nothing new. If you excuse more, refuse, but may excuse more, so abuse. What self if and when you seem to dream, it peaches and creams inherent wealth. So find a better muse as you infuse the cream and honey. Its runny nose knows the crow flies north and south while staying put for sake of health. Remember always and always believe you not of inherent wealth and home. And really great wordplay there. And she wrote to the quote, the best way to treat obstacles is to use them as stepping stones, laugh at them, tread on them, and let them lead you to something better, by Enid Blyton. And Barb, your thoughts?
Yeah, I loved the repeating phrase that she used. I loved the phrase itself, and then I loved that she repeated it so that it started getting ingrained and we started to anticipate it. And that's the believe nothing's inherent wealth. It's kind of a convoluted concept, but it makes total sense. Nothing's, the absence of something is nothing. Nothing's inherent wealth. Wealth we usually see as having a lot of stuff. It's having everything. It's having the most stuff. That's what gives you wealth. But she is repeatedly saying nothing is where the wealth is. Having nothing is where the wealth is. For one thing, I've heard, I wouldn't know from experience, but I've heard that the wealthy just, they don't sleep at night because they're always worried about their wealth. So having nothing, hopefully, allows you to sleep at night. And, you know, wealth isn't always the wealth of stuff. It's just not the place to go. Wealth of people is definitely the place to go. And I really loved her stanza, step lightly or be crushed beneath the feet of falling circumstance. You know, when circumstances change, especially as it pertains to wealth, it can be so challenging when you lose wealth, when you lose that which you had before and have come to rely upon it. So step lightly. Don't expect it's going to be there tomorrow if you want to have any kind of satisfaction or peace in your life. Thought is trance. Do not advance, but lance the boil on oil's moist shelf. It's like we really are. Our brains are just numbed to the concept of more and more. We get it all over the TV, all over newspapers, with friends as we compare our homes and our cars and our spandex and how we fit in that spandex. And we're getting this trance and we just follow numbingly what society says is what we should want and the quantities we should want it. So it's like, do not advance, but lance. Like, lance that boil in your mind. Take a different path. Make your own choices. Don't be like those brain-dead people who just follow where everyone else is leading, because it's not going to a good place. It's going to nothing's inherent wealth. Great. And, you know, every stanza, you could digest and dissect every stanza and get that kind of depth of meaning out of them. So the fact that she strung so many of these really intriguing concepts together, and I liked her rhyming, you know, like almost every stanza had like every third word would rhyme. And so it gave it kind of real punchy, almost like waves on the shore kind of cadence to it that I quite enjoyed. So, well done. I really enjoyed it. Liquid Mind Forever.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I have to agree. And wonderful observations there. And Jean, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I thought this was a well-penned piece by Deborah. A great play on the quote and very well crafted. I thought there were a lot of nice lines throughout. And I grabbed up the last two stanzas. Use or lose, you choose. If you refuse, you look confused. It's nothing news. If you excuse, more refuse. But may excuse, more so abuse. What stealth if and when you seem to dream, it's peaches and creams, inherent wealth. You know, and then the last stanza, of course. I'm not going to read it because I don't want to trip all over it. But Deborah always has a great rhyme and meter throughout her work. You know, be it internal rhymes or end rhymes, I mean, a lot of times it's both. And I find that to be just a very well put together piece. I mean, she has to think it through in order to make it all fit. And I think she does a fine job with it. So wonderful job, Deborah, and thanks for sharing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Great comment. Yeah, her wordplay, her inner and end rhyme, her use of repetition and imagery and metaphors all work really well in this piece. And it is a great message of how too oftentimes we depend on the news that we hear to tell us what our lives are supposed to be like, and also how we do depend, unfortunately, too much on status and wealth and keeping up with the Joneses. I really like laugh or cry, believe or defy. It's all the same but different rides. Allow yourself to speak to folly, be jolly by golly. Deck the hall with vows, lead the elf. Dusty, mightful elf, fight yourself. Leave nothing in hand's wealth. And so as you know, Barb was saying, there is a certain wealth to be found in having nothing. Or the idea of, you know, obviously we can't have nothing because there are other things that we need. But the idea that instead of trying to, you know, keep up with other people, the idea of, you know, find joy and happiness within ourselves. So, you know, amazing life and very well done. Is anybody else having trouble hearing a lot of static?
I'm not hearing static, but everybody keeps cutting out on me. Like, you know, every so many words, you know, it's not consistently so many words, but so I thought it was just.
I'm hearing static, and the only one I've heard cut out is Eugene, but
isn't
not that
weird?
Frequently.
That's okay, because
yeah.
I heard you cutting out when you were reading, and I heard Pam cutting out when she was reading, and I'm like, oh, it's got to be me. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to hang up and call back, and then we'll do it one by one, I guess, and figure it out. Okay, I'll be right back.
No problem. Mm-hmm. All right, and I see Robbie on the board, and hello, Robbie. I think he said something about going to be calling in to join us, and so that'll be awesome. That'll be awesome, and very cool, very cool. I have to say, so far we've had a great night of poetry, and let's see here. Are you back with us, Ian?
I am. Believe it or not.
All right. Well,
now what am I supposed to do?
Well, I've gone ahead and I've put up Invisible Me by Puddle 33.
Got it. Okay.
And if you can get that playing for us, I'm actually going to hang up and call right back, and so you can just let me on while that's playing.
Here we go.
Invisible Me by Barb Christing. Surrounded by people, a bee in a hive, I feel like the others don't know I'm alive. I buzz and I fly through our orchard of pink. I work and I plan, yet they think I can't think. I collect golden nectar, serve it up to the queen. A drone in the system, gray grinding machine. I stop to confer with my brothers in arms, but they fly with their blinders, immune to my charms. Not one person slows to ask how I am. It's like they can't see me. They don't give a damn. If I live or I die in this sweltering heat, I look in the mirror to see my defeat. Invisible me, flying here, flying there, a cog in a wheel with a life they won't share. It's dripping with honey, this heart in my chest, but no one can hear it. It's drowned by the rest of the buzzing and motion, the hives running hot. My needs just don't matter. All I have not. For the calculus used to measure my worth can't measure the pain that I've felt since my birth. So invisible me will fly up to the sky. Let the sun kiss my tears as I silently cry. Then return to the hive, find my place in the line, paste a smile on my face as if everything's fine, and wait for the day when another sad bee bumps into my path and truly sees me.
Wonderful read and write there, Barb. Thank you for the recording. It is very much appreciated. And I see you were inspired by the Dr. Seuss quote, a person is a person no matter how small. from his book, Fortune, Years, and Coup, which is actually, I'm glad you chose that one. That was actually one that I had considered putting in the contest. But I'm glad you chose it. It's such a wonderful quote. And Gene, your thoughts?
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you, I did not see what the quote was, but as you were reading, I'm saying, well, she's got a Seuss thing going on here, because it sounded so right. It was the rhyme and the meter were perfectly spot on, Dr. Seuss. And you read it beautifully to reflect that. I really enjoyed the piece all the way through. I guess I could start at the very beginning. Surrounded by people, a bee in a hive, I feel like the others don't know I'm alive. I buzz and I fly through our orchard of pink. I work and I plan, yet they think I can't think. I love the way you did it. I don't know how to express it any differently, but yet they think I can't think. That was truly like a line that you could imagine in Dr. Seuss. I love that you used the bees, you know, and went into that whole thought process there. I loved it, Barb. I really did. I don't know how else to say it. The rhyme was great. The meter was great. The story was great. And I think you really did a great job with the quote itself. So nice work. I really enjoyed it a lot.
Thanks, Gene.
You're welcome.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. Yeah, this spot on metered rhyme and flow really did have that great Dr. Seuss vibe to it. I loved your reading of it, your word choices. And I like how you told the story of this little bee, and I like how it can be a literal story. You're bringing in the voice of the bee, which is the personification of it, but it can also be the idea of how oftentimes we feel like that bee. We feel like, especially if you're around a lot of people where people are so busy and they're just, you know, in their own little cliques and you don't feel like you fit in. This actually made me think of the movie Ants. Like, it was a Dr. Seuss rhyme, but it kind of had the idea of the movie Ants, where he's assigned to be a worker ant, but he wants to be something more. He wants to be different. And so here you have this little bee that wants to be something more. You know, it feels this sadness and this emptiness in their life. And, you know, I also thought that this was because of so many problems going on with bees right now, how we're suddenly becoming aware of their importance because they're dying out. I thought this worked really well on that level too. You know, and it's sad that it took something like that for us to realize the importance of bees and the importance of taking care of them. I stopped to confer with my brothers in arms, but they fly with their blinders, immune to my charm. Not one person slow to ask how I am. It's like they can't see me. They don't give a damn. If I live or I die in a sweltering heat, I look in the mirror to see my defeat. You know, and you can just feel the sense of loss emotionally within that, and the idea of wanting to have that connection. So wonderful write and very well done. And was there anything you wanted to say about your write, Barb?
Not really, other than I think a lot of people can identify with never feeling more alone than when they stand alone in a crowded room, you know, and see other people getting along together and just feeling completely excluded from, you know, the cliques all around them. So that was just, but I adore Dr. Seuss. I mean, he's just phenomenal. And all his made-up words, you know, wow, like what a gifted individual. So I just wanted to do something that had to do with that brilliant man.
Mm-hmm. Right. Pam, I want to let you know that Robbie's online. And hi, Robbie.
Oh,
welcome
wonderful.
To the party.
Hello there. I'm laughing to myself because I almost forgot to raise my hand. you would have been like, I see 807 on the board, and he hasn't raised his hand. What's going on?
Did you get a chance to read Barb's poem for the year?
I got a chance to listen to it and listen to it enough that I could comment. And I was focusing on in particular the whole thing of alone in a crowd. And it really resonated with me because these days, like, I feel like I'm doing my work and I'm doing everything that I want to do and all that. But because of the way circumstances are, like, especially at work, like, you know, they have us understaffed. And so, like, I'm working like a bee, you know, a busy bee, but there aren't that many customers there because most of them are just focusing on the groceries, which is all they can afford to get. And then there aren't many staff members around. So it really made me think about that. And it's sometimes like a poem comes along or a piece of writing that tunes it into exactly what you've been pondering lately, like over the past week or the past few days. So when that happens, that especially captures your attention. And I think that the poem captured that well, that feeling of being alone in a crowd and that contradiction and the feelings that can bring. And I thought using that bee analogy was a perfect way to do that. And this is one of those things where you can look – I like poems that have multiple levels like that, where you could look at this as, okay, this is the experience of the bee. What's it like to be a bee? And you could also look at it as, okay, well, this is a poem about being alone in a crowd, you know, and it could be like alone in a crowd as a bee or as a person. So it has all those multiple tacks that you can take on it. So I enjoy when a poem lets you do that.
Me too. Absolutely. Great observation. Yeah, it is definitely a layered piece for sure. All right, and up next we have Uncomplicated Journey by Robert A. Snow, and Robbie, go ahead please and give that a read for us.
Oh, the donkey that I sit upon shall carry me today. The owl that sits upon my head will guide us on the way. The ferret in my pocket tells when it's time to eat. The monkey on my shoulder taps my head in 4/4 beat. The chipmunk nibbles on the grain I carry in a sack. The spider and the centipede makes tracks across my back. As one more time together we shall venture o'er the land. We know not what we'll find, but we are sure it will be grand. We have no destination, but we're always on the run. It matters not where we wind up. The journey is the fun. And that is Uncomplicated Journey by Robert A. Snow.
Great read there, Robbie, and what a wonderful write by Robert A. Snow. And he didn't write to a specific prompt, but he wrote instead inspired by the writings of Dr. Seuss, which I thought you could definitely see that he captured the spirit of that with his his rhyme and flow and his fun creative lines. And Barb, your thoughts?
I love his last two lines. We have no destination, but we're always on the run. It matters not where we wind up. The journey is the fun. That's a message we all need to live until that day we hit the grave. I mean, we're all so consumed with setting goals and 5 points to make it to the next level and, you know, the 5 habits of highly successful people. It's like, and this is telling us, chill out. It's not the destination that you should be focused on. It's the daisies beside the path. It's the people that you're walking beside. It's noticing the birds and the songs they're singing and perhaps chirping a tune along with them. I love that message. I love the way it was presented. It was pretty much perfect rhyme. Very Dr. Seuss-ish, because Dr. Seuss, that's the thing I'm obsessed with him. Absolute perfect rhyme. Like, you can beat it out on your lap. Like, it's just so fun to read aloud. And I bet you Robbie had a ton of fun reading this because it was absolutely perfect rhyme. So well done, Robert. My hat's off to you. Really a great piece of work here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. Wonderful comment. And Jean, your thoughts. Are you on mute, Jean?
Of course I am. Where else might I be?
That happens sooner or later.
Yeah, it's usually sooner, but, you know, what could I tell you? I thought this was an excellent piece. There was great rhyme and meter, and I thought the story was well done. And I'm with Barry. I really enjoyed the last four lines of it. As one more time together we shall venture o'er the land, we know not what we'll find, but we are sure it will be grand. We have no destination, but we're always on the run. It matters not where we wind up. The journey is the fun. And absolutely, that is the truth of it. We all have to remember that it's the journey, you know, much more than where we're going. You know, we have to enjoy our way there. Otherwise, you know, I don't know. I just think that it would take away from that. Once you get there, it's over and done with. You have to enjoy every bit getting there and every step of the way. So I just thought this was an excellent piece. Very well done, and thank you very much, Robert A. Snow.
Yes, yes. I definitely look forward to getting and hearing more rights of this. You know,
yeah,
so great comment there, Jean. And Robbie, you did an excellent read of that. Your thoughts?
Well, I managed to eat my cookie before your comment were done. So that's good. Well, as someone who enjoys and like practices like with totems and kind of like the shamanistic sort of thing, I like that this life journey here in this poem is represented by animals. So that totally accords with me. I think especially with the way this poem talks about, you know, the journey as opposed to the goal in that, I think it's especially an important message these days because we're being assailed, we continue to be assailed by lots of big news items and just lots of things going on generally in the world. And it's more important than ever for us to take those moments and to enjoy ourselves in the moment, because there's so much that we're getting hit with now in the news and what we see from day to day that we really need to take those moments and enjoy ourselves in the present so that things don't overwhelm us. So I thought the poem was a good reminder.
Absolutely. It is important to enjoy ourselves in the present. Great comment. Yeah, I really enjoyed this poem. I thought, you know, I really felt like this was a poem that Dr. Seuss would give a round of applause with the rhyme and flow, the sense of this adventure. Dr. Seuss was actually the reason I started reading by the age of three, because my parents, I had them read The Cat in the Hat and other Dr. Seuss books to me over and over again, and they got so tired, they told me that I had to learn to read myself. And apparently I did. And I passed that love of Dr. Seuss on to my children, especially my oldest daughter, who at one point for Christmas I bought her a giant, you know, like full-length collections of Dr. Seuss. But, you know, this is such a wonderful poem, and I have to agree with all of you that there is a great message in it, especially in those last two stanzas. I know I've already been read twice, so I won't read them. But I found this a delight all the way through, with an important message of appreciating the journey. But I have to say, the other thing, a couple things I like about this, especially of Dr. Mace, first of all, he doesn't just go with the cute animals. You know, he has the chipmunk nibbles on the grain I carry in a sack, the spider and the centipede make tracks across my back, and that's kind of like, creepy, but, you know, at the same time, it's fun because, you know, this is about, you know, embracing and loving all the creatures. And I used to actually have a pet ferret named Wendy.
Nice.
And so yes. Well, she got the name Wendy because I had a white cat named Casper. So when I got her, she became Wendy. But so I also really enjoyed that. The food in my pocket tells me when it's time to eat. The monkey on my shoulder taps my head in 4/4 beat. Wonderful creative lines and very well done.
Yeah. Great comment, Pam.
Thank you. Thank you. Somebody's passing out cookies, huh? All right.
I don't know. I haven't gotten one yet. I keep waiting.
I know. What's up with that?
Tucked away somewhere. I don't know.
I would like some macadamia nut cookies. That sounds good.
I'm asking for specific cookies. What's up with that, Pam? Come on now. What if he doesn't have macadamia cookies? Gosh, what a crap.
Oh, too funny. All right. Well, up next we have Knowing Nothing is Something After All by Way Down Upon Joy. And Jean, would you go ahead and give that a read for us, please?
Sure thing. Knowing Nothing is Something After All by Way Down Upon Joy. And this is the quote, When in Doubt, Tell the Truth by Mark Twain. If fingers fate finds you alert to that which bullies share, I quick advise to not feel hurt and just to stay aware. It's all about just what you know, no doubt the truths you feel, and not about their nothing show that shares Achilles' heel. It's simply that they need to learn about your shoes, not theirs, and walk with you with much concern for being unaware. Adventuring can teach them much about some things they lack, and you'll become their friend as such, so they can quick bounce back. It's you who knows what that caring's call may soon reveal its face, and they may find that after all, don't waste attention's grace. End poem.
Great read there, Jean. And I was really glad that Way Down Upon Joy wrote to Mark Twain, who I think has so many words of wisdom. He really was. He was funny, like one of my favorite authors. He was funny, but he used that humor in a way to teach kind of in a world that doesn't always have common sense. So, you know, very cool choice to write to. And Robbie, your thoughts?
Well, it was an interesting poem in that it kind of put forth to you the ideas of kind of the balance between, okay, how much do you let someone experience their own life so that they can learn? How much do you guide? And also, how much do you impart your own experience and sort of talk about your own experience, and how much do you let people live theirs? And it's very much a poem of balance, I think, to me. And just a feeling of kind of trying to find that stasis, or maybe that's not the right word, like a certain point in life where, you know, you're balanced between your own experience, other people's experience, and being more internal and introvert as opposed to external and extrovert.
I like that, the idea of finding balance and knowing when to step forward and guide, and knowing when to step back and when somebody learns. Very cool. And Barb, your thoughts?
I thought this was an incredible poem. It used intelligent verbiage for a very, I don't know, it's kind of like the golden rule. That's not the golden rule. It's like give everybody some grace. It's kind of the yin and yang of friendship. It's like you got to learn when to offer someone who has trespassed grace for walking on your shoes and kind of trampling your heart, when to invest time in that person, then allow them to walk a few steps with you. I love this part. It's simply that they need to learn about your shoes, not theirs. It's giving them permission to, even though they've just offended you, it's bravery is needed here. They've just offended you, but what Way Down Upon Joy is suggesting is let them in deeper. Let them in deeper so they can understand you better, understand why what they said or what they did is offensive and hurtful to you, and give them the grace, give them that chance to be the friend that learns not to step on your toes in your heart, but can walk with you. And right down at the end, wraps it up beautiful. And you'll become their friend as such so they can quick bounce back. Give them that time to bounce back. So you got to be courageous. You got to be filled with grace, and so does the other person. I mean, I love playing pickleball, and we were having a fabulous time playing pickleball, and I kind of was coming into a conversation partway through. I said, well, what are you guys talking about? Unfortunately, it was politics, and we were on vastly opposite sides of that spectrum. And one of those players started attacking me to the point of me actually crying. And instead of closing myself off and saying, I want nothing to do with you, we now go on hikes. We're going to an author who's coming to our small little town. We're going to go together. We're going to go to dinner. We're discovering that our differences don't need to define our friendship, that we can tiptoe around that and find some commonality, some passions we'd like. And we've drilled down to the core of who each other are and have deep respect for who each other are. And I think so many people write off offensive behavior and don't invest the time to turn those people or let those people or invite those people to have a more deep and important place in your life as a friend. So I just think that she did a fabulous job. Joy is her name. I actually really like her work. I've read many of her poems, and she never disappoints. And I'm going to add this to the pile of ones that I absolutely adore.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. And you're right, there is an important lesson of, you know, not dismissing a person, but rather, you know, truly getting to know them. So great comment there. And Dee, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Thank you. You know, I like this piece as well. When I first started reading it, fingers fate finds you alert to that which bullies share. A quick advice to not feel hurt and just to stay aware. You know, don't let it get to you, but just be alert and pay attention. That's where that took me. It's all about just what you know, no doubt the truths you feel, and not about their nothing show that shares Achilles heel. We all have that weak spot. We all do. The bully, the receiver of the bullying, everybody. And the thing is to make them aware, you know, and that's not always easy. It's not. But it is, I guess, possible, you know, when you think about it.
Adventuring can teach them much about some things they lack, and you'll become their friend as such, so they can quick bounce back. Because when somebody hits their Achilles heel, you know, and you pick them up or you help them through it, they learn, they realize, you know. I'm not exactly, there's a line I was going to say, but I can't, it just escaped me. Imagine that. My mind's like a steel trap. It goes in and never comes back out sometimes. But I think it was just really well done. I like Joy's work as well. I thought it was an excellent write, wonderfully rhymed. I enjoyed the thought she expressed, and it was very well said. She's a smart writer. And thank you, Joy, so much for sharing with us, always.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, and it's not always easy to communicate with somebody who is bullying you. And, you know, it's, in the end, it doesn't always work. But,
nope.
You know, you have to try. You have to know, well, you know, you don't have to, but I think it's a good idea to try and do your part. And then when you realize, if you realize it's not working, just step back and, you know, realize that that person can't be a part of your life. I thought this had such wonderful rhyme and flow. It was an intelligent write, great take on the children prompt, and wonderful lines all the way through. But I did especially like the reference to the shared Achilles heel, and also to spending time in your shoes. It's simply that they need to learn about your shoes, not theirs, and walk with you with such much concern for being unaware. It's so important that we put ourselves in that mindset of walking in other people's shoes, and not just for a little bit, but truly to the point of understanding. So excellent, right, and very well done. I tell you, this is not going to be an easy contest to judge. There is just some quality rights in here.
There are. There really are. Great stuff. That was
Absolutely.
Almost a cross between a fable and a you know, wonderfully rhymed piece. I mean, it was just nice. I'll behave.
It is. Yeah, and... Well, there's just so many wonderful writes, and it's been a great night for sure. And up next, we have Night Flight by Blue Raven. And Barb, go ahead, please, and give that a read for us.
Thanks, Pam. Night Flight. We lift above Manhattan, still bustling at midnight, a place of sparkling towers and bridges, streets that flow like rivers of light. We are bound for Rome, skirting the Canadian coast, then bending east in a great arc over the North Atlantic. We turn from the continent into darkness, vast ocean below, fathomless universe above, and stars that blink just outside the cabin window. Soon we'll catch a glimpse of tomorrow. Think of time in terms of distance as the new day appears, like a band of gold that widens as we fly into morning. End poem.
Nice.
Great read there, Barb. And a wonderful write by Blue Raven, who wrote to making a journey by night is more wonderful than anything in the world. By Cole Jansen. And Robbie, your thoughts?
Well, it made me think a bit about how places can be different when you have a trip and you go from one place to another, you almost forget at first. Like I had that when I went to Maui, like you almost forget how different one place can be to another. And it's the value of taking trips, is it reminds you of just how different the world is from place to place. And I thought of that a little bit when it said, we are bound for Rome, skirting the Canadian coast. And I was just thinking about, like, well, you know, how different is the Canadian coast from Rome? And And then I like the allusions to darkness, like where it says, still bustling at midnight. We turn from the continent into darkness. Because the thing is, for me, like, I've become more fascinated as I get older with how things become at night. And, like, in terms of, like, the general energy, it kind of changes, like, you know, the interactions of people. But also, like, you know, I think of those cities, like, when you go above them and you see the whole city all in one scope, like, all in one vision, and it's all lit up, and you see, like, this almost like this web of lights and everything, and you don't see that unless you go, like, high up in the air and you do your traveling.
Yeah, and there is that different perspective. I mean, and both are wonderful. Like, it's wonderful to take a road trip, and you get to see a lot, but then it's a totally different perspective to just fly in an airplane, and then that perspective changes, whether it's daylight or you know, nighttime, and it's just, both are interesting experiences, but, you know, there is something really magical about taking that journey at night. So great comment there. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I thought this was a great piece with lots of good imagery. You know, because when she starts out, we lift above Manhattan, still bustling at midnight, a place of sparkling towers and bridges, streets that flow like rivers of light. You know, when you do travel at night, that's what you see. You see things in a whole different perspective. Something that's just buildings and roads and whatever in the daytime changes, and it becomes, you know, maybe magical at night, you know, where it just is completely different, and it's a different point of view and a different, a whole different image in your mind. And I think that she captured that there. And she carried it all the way through, and I think it was a great job. So thank you so much, Blue Raven. Great job.
Absolutely. I have to agree that this did have great imagery throughout, so wonderful comments. And Barb, you did a great read of that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought Blue Raven did a fabulous job of inviting us to take a look at a common theme in an uncommon way. I mean, not many of us can navigate very well at night. And when you do it, if you've ever strolled outside in the neighborhood at night, you have to tap into different senses than you do during the day. So you're relying not so much on your sight, but things start to smell just so much more intense. And you start to hear things. So the whole concept of traveling intercontinentally at night and sound inside of an airplane just kind of recedes. So then she is still strongly pulling on our vision throughout her poem, probably because you're in that sound capsule of the plane. But I absolutely love her last stanza. Soon we'll catch a glimpse of tomorrow. Think of time in terms of distance as the new day appears. I love the whole thought that you're just sitting in your place and this machine is taking you not just from one place to another, but from one time. It's almost like a time machine. And then you're going to have that, as we talked about the other night, cultural creative experience once you get to the other side. I actually had a flight at night that went from, I think it was Montreal, Canada, to Amsterdam, and it went over the Arctic. I guess that was the shortest path. And we saw the Northern Lights. So I just happened to be on the right side of the plane with the window seat, and the entire sky was shimmering green. It, like, actually my hair is going up on my arms and on the back of my neck just remembering that experience. So traveling at night can have a whole different array of just exotic, magical moments. Highly recommend it, even if it's just a little journey down your sidewalk in your neighborhood. Beautiful poem.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I love going for nighttime walks. you know, especially during the summer when it's cooled off, but it's still warm enough to walk. But I have to say, yeah, this is an absolutely beautiful poem, wonderful imagery. She really paints a word, I mean, paints a picture with her words, and I like how she creates, she brings us into the moment, creates a sense of movement, and really, I mean, shares an experience of her own with us, which I really appreciate. And the fact that she shows us this view of what it's like to take off and, you know, fly within the darkness, and not only, as you were saying, Barb, you know, going from one country to the next, but from one time zone to the next. And wonderful lines all the way through, but I really like the attention to detail and the imagery. And she turns in the continent into darkness, vast ocean below, fathomless universe above, and stars that blink just outside the cabin window. I mean, what an amazing, captivating lines, and very well done. And let's see. Well, up next, I'll go ahead and grab that because it's got a little berry, but that's all right. Well, up next we have Grow Slowly by Aaron Panther, and we do have a recording for that scene whenever you're ready.
Yes, we do, and here it comes.
Grow Slowly by Aaron Panther. Chase that feeling of the wind in your hair, of butterflies dancing among flowers, of grass tickling bare feet. Build sandcastles on the beach. Become soldiers on muddy battlefields. Believe that you can fly. Skip stones from a riverbank. Swing from an old tire tied to a tree. Sing like no one's watching. Play hopscotch in a quiet street. Pick daisies and marigolds for mum. Pedal like a demon on an antique swing. Most of all, my dear, have fun. Grow slowly. Feast on the joys of a world while you can. Adulthood ain't the pleasure cruise youthful eyes assume it to be. End poem.
Wonderful read and write there, Aaron. Thank you for the recording. It is very much appreciated. And just a reminder, everyone, if you're unable to call in, the next best thing is to make a recording of your poem, because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. And he wrote to the quote, simplify, slow down, be kind, and don't forget to have art in your life. Music, paintings, theater, dance, and sunsets by Eric Carle. And Jean, your thoughts.
I knew you were here first, Pam. I thought this was a wonderful poem, and full of great advice, too. You know, we tend to race through our childhood and our youth, you know, thinking that adulthood is so wonderful, and then we get there. It's not bad. But, you know, there's nothing like enjoying the benefits of being young and enjoying them. I love the quote, but I think that Aaron really had some, what I wrote down as advice, you know, chase that feeling of the wind in your hair, of butterflies dancing among flowers, of grass tickling bare feet. I love the part about riding the bike. I think that this really captures a lot of things in a youthful perspective. And I think that it really, it was just wonderful. I love the imagery throughout because a lot of it was so relatable. You know, who doesn't know, you know, what it's like to, you know, for a bicycle. Or flowers, you know, hopscotch. It's the innocence here, you know, and the fact that he says, you know, it ain't the pleasure cruise youthful eyes assume it to be, and that's true. And I think that this was just a really great job.
Great imagery, Aaron, and wonderful, wonderful thoughts.
Absolutely. I have to agree. And, yeah, you're right. A lot of this is very relatable. A great comment. And Barb, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Jean nailed every major point. Just absolutely nailed it. This poem, I love the title, Grow Slowly. And he weaves that concept of take your time, like slow down. Like the end game isn't all it's cracked up to be. Like where you're at now is where we all want to get back to. So like hang out where you're at and just... And nobody can enjoy a moment like a child. And so I love that he, you know, talks about feast on the joys of the world. He could just as easily switch out the word to your world, feast on the joys of your world. Because I really believe the world of a child is very different from the world of an adult. And that child, when he grows up in the same home, is going to feel very differently, and joy will feel a little bit different once they're older, perhaps not as high wattage as it was as they're a child. They're just so gifted at finding pleasure in the little moments. And that's what Aaron is talking about. These are all, he describes all the little moments in life that we tend to get blinded to as we get older, as we're pursuing the great dream and the bigger house and on and on and on. It's the childhood wonder that we really need to hold on to before it just slips between our fingers. Aaron did a fabulous job of reminding us. And we can still recapture that. We can still recapture and change and switch our focus, you know, dial back Father Time's little TikTok machine a little bit and learn to hesitate and just soak in some of the simpler moments of our days. Beautiful poem.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wonderful comment. Thank you. And Robbie, your thoughts?
Well, two things that came to my mind particularly when I read this poem was the idea of slowing down time, because more and more I hear about that because of these quirky psychological effects that you experience when you get older, time literally seems to feel faster. There's something about the amount of years you've lived relative to the amount you have left in that. So time literally seems to go faster. And I kind of attached to that, I think about consciously slowing down time and appreciating the moments. Like, I found more and more that when you really do, like, try to jam-pack as many experiences as possible in life, like, maybe jam-pack is the wrong word for it because I make it maybe sound obsessive, but, like, when you try to live your life to the fullest, it really does seem to slow it down because time isn't slipping by in nothingness. It's like when you're doing nothing and that, it just, time seems to just whittle away in that. And I found myself, like, your days are just, you know, like, have more to them, they just get filled up more and they just feel longer. So the poem made me think of that sort of an aspect to life, and just how life is more pleasant when you have more that's happening in it. Oh,
yeah,
I see.
Absolutely.
I'm down a couple of cookies. I'm going to have to buy some more for the next show because you guys are demanding more cookies.
Yep, you're definitely
going
to have to bring them
all
the next show.
Yeah. You better make sure Pam gets it. She
might
you.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly. Dr. Octopus's arms come in handy.
But great comments, everybody. I really liked this all the way through, and it was filled with words of wisdom, reminding us, you know, that time does pass by too fast. And before you know it, it is adulthood. And that, as he says in his end lines, adulthood ain't the pleasure cruise youthful eyes assume it to be. We're always, as children, we're always in a hurry to grow up. And then when we become those grown-ups, we realize that we wish time would slow down. I really thought there was just such wonderful lines throughout this. I did especially like play hopscotch in a quiet street, pick daisies and marigolds for mum, pedal like a demon on an antique Schwinn. You know, those joys, simple joys of childhood that make for such wonderful memories. Excellent right and very well done. And let's see what we have next.
We're having a great cookie.
Right.
You see? Oh, my God.
Need something sweet to go with all of this sweet poetry. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, up next, we have Unbirthday Parties by Betty Page. And it goes like this. Cheshire cat pink, decadent swirls of frosting, ribbon cascading, bright rainbow colors, tiny porcelain teacups, one plate for each guest. Celebrate today. Have a happy unbirthday. They greet each other. Sitting waterside, quiet streams of octave blue, deep forests of green, magical pine trees, cherry red mushrooms, sweet, white sugar seed dots, waterfalls roaring, translucent rainbows emerge, twirling ribbons in skies, fine, beautiful days, citrus bubblegum sunshine, embracing so warm, black hole sun faces, ecstasy high sensation, melodic parade, thin kaleidoscopes, neon colors of all shapes, cotton candy clouds, everyone dancing, delicious brunch, fine desserts, sipping pink champagne, luscious birthday cake, everybody gets a piece, swirls frosting on tongues. And you know, to prompt cup 21, which of course was the quote by Lewis Carroll, and I appreciate you putting the prompt number in the end, but I definitely think this is one of those rites where we could have for sure told which quote she wrote to. You know, fun lines as always with Betty. I like the way she went with this. And Jean, your thoughts?
Oh my goodness. See how you are? I thought this was a neat piece. It goes automatically in the very beginning when she says happy on birthday. It takes me right to the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. And then after she takes me there, she then kind of puts me with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory with all the imagery and the candies and, you know, the mushrooms with the sugar cube dots and the waterfalls and, you know, bubblegum sunshine. All these different things just kind of took me there a little bit. And so it was a neat undertone to the whole poem. I mean, they weren't drinking champagne there that I remember, but hey, we're all adults now. You know, and we've all grown into this. I think it was, you know, can you lose? Luscious birthday cake and everybody gets a piece? Oh, heavens to Betsy. Like, it's a win-win all the way through. So nice piece, Betty, and thanks for sharing. I enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
And I liked your observation on how it also had a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory undertone to it. So very cool there. And Barb, your thoughts?
Again, Jean nailed it. I love it. She really, Betty Page really did morph the old Cheshire Cat, the Alice in Wonderland, and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. It's a complete beautiful mesh of the two. Both of those stories are just wildly adventurous, intensely creative, so much imagination, and she morphed the two into a really creative piece because she morphed them seamlessly. Like, one just naturally flowed one right into the other. And I do love that whole concept of have a happy unbirthday. The entire poem is an invitation to celebrate every day just because.
Yes.
And then she gives us all these great ideas of how to do it. I dare say I'm going to be spending a lot of money at our bakery tomorrow because, like, I'm getting real hungry. I also love how she sets up the scene for us. Sitting waterside, quiet streams of aqua blue need forests of green. Sign me up. I want to have a picnic right there beneath her magical pine trees and the mushrooms that are tasty and white sugar cube dots. I have not seen or heard of a sugar cube since I was like 10. But wow, I used to pop those things in my mouth like they were candy. So it was so fun just to read about sugar cubes again. So just a fun piece from the first word to the last.
Oh my goodness, I really get that there because I did the same thing as a kid. Love those sugar cubes. Wonderful comment there. And you're right, she does remind us to celebrate every day. So very cool. And Robbie, your thoughts?
My favorite image, and it wasn't the food one, was the black hole sun, which is black hole sun chases ecstasy high. Oh, I love that. I'm an astronomer through and through. It's my first love, and that's the first time I've ever heard anyone use that image. And the thing is, like, in astronomy circles, they've had that thought experiment, like, what if our sun was a black hole? Well, of course, it wouldn't be very good, but I loved seeing that. And then this poem was just, I think someone else used the word lush. It's just beyond lush. It's just it's so sensory, like with all the sweet and then all the luscious colors and all that. And I was laughing at the end. I said in chat that there's a theme going tonight because Luscious Birthday Cake, everyone gets a piece. So, yeah,
yes.
just like everyone's gotten the cookie today. Everyone's getting a piece of cake. No one's getting left behind today. No one's getting left out. Not with anything.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's enjoyable to get here and sensory looking.
Absolutely, and wonderful comment.
I have to say, Robbie, it's funny because when I read the black hole sun line, I thought she was talking about music because that's a group, right? Black hole sun.
Yep. Actually,
okay.
It's a song. It's a song.
Well, that's kind of where I took it on the musical curve. So it's interesting to know that there is something in astronomy that refers to that as well. Clever piece.
That is really cool. No, I like that you I like that you brought that up, Dean, because I too did not know. I'm like, I just thought the same way because it's a Black Hole Sun is a song by Soundgarden, and in the video for it, there's all that weird stuff going on, like the faces are twisting, like somebody's having a weird acid trip.
You have to take a closer look after the show.
I'm never sure.
I do like that Robbie brought that up, that there is an actual event.
Very special cookies.
Yeah, very special cookies. I think it was the sugar dots on the mushrooms that got me. But it's okay.
I'm pretty sure the the white sugar cube dots is what's causing all the black hole sun faces. But I did like this because I think it's great for young and old alike. There is an adult undertone to it, and yet there's this fun, festive imagery, this wonderful celebration of life. And just, you know, having fun, having a party, really just, you know, embracing all the fun in life. And
right.
Wonderful lines and very well done.
Yeah.
And let's see, are we celebrating our unbirthdays? I think we should.
Merry unbirthday to you. Thank you.
I just remembered I was going to mention a boss's sister had a birthday, and I said, "So how young are you today?" Instead of how old, and she goes, "Oh, Roberto, that's why they call you the maestro." They call me the maestro at that work, and oh, she just loved it. She just, I was like her, I was her best friend for that day once because I said that.
How young are you today?
That's awesome.
Yep.
Well, up next we have Benediction by Eric Jensen, and we have an audio for that whenever you're ready, Jim.
Yes, we do. Okay, give me 2 seconds, and here we go.
Benediction, dear child of all the adventures in the universe, your time on Earth will be beyond belief. Pinch your freckled nose, often you will spill more laughter than sighs. Bound by sights and sounds, tickled pink by grown-up set ways, Pathfinder you gleefully observes unnerved curves. Mystery beckons you around every corner. Friends, real and imaginary, fill your day. Never forget that grown-ups were once playful pups too. Shoes, strings untied, bonnets askew, and dewdrops little universes, hopscotch through muddy puddles on rainy days. Best you remain fearless with each new page day. Do your best to fill it with one good story. Never mind the apple. A good story a day keeps the doctor away. Never forget to say thank you. The bigger you open your fancy free but fierce child heart, the more you will teach friends imaginary and real. Little sapling you will send down deep roots into humanity. Funny, isn't it? Books are printed on paper made from trees. So the deeper you send your keen roots down into people, the happier their a page a day lives will be. Their sundial smiles will brighten many a cloudy day. So much to tell you about your life's great grand book. For now, all you need to know is that it is the greatest gift ever. Gurgling brook childhood years may become raging life rapids later, but for now, your impatience is a virtue. So much to remember, Your child heart is a glowing ember of hope. Don't cross swords with frozen adult hearts. Simply smite them with your mighty smile. Somewhere deep inside them, there lurks an inner child. Your kindness will unbind their thistles, thorns, and beastly briars. Brave-hearted knights and damsels or children are, may your life brim with endless, joyful undertakings of discovery. Sincerely yours, a poet's inner child. Poem.
Wonderful read and write there, Eric. Thank you for the recording. It is very much appreciated. I just love how he wrote this in a letter form to a child from his inner child. And he was inspired by the quote, "The life adventurous was so new a thing to him and so thrilling, and this fresh aspect of it was so tempting," by Kenneth Graham, the author of The Wind in the Willows. And Barb, your thoughts?
I really enjoyed this. I like how slow Eric reads because it gives us an opportunity to just really understand the word and the meaning and how the words play together to get his message across. You know, your mind isn't racing to try and keep up one word to the next. So I really enjoyed the speed that he read it. I love his message. I love it's really a message of empowerment to children to not only hold on tight to their curiosity and their frivolous, happy smiles, but to actually almost weaponize their smiles to disarm the hard-hearted adults in their circumference, in their little world. I love this. Don't cross swords with frozen adult hearts. Simply smite them with your mighty smile. What an image that is. Weaponizing a smile in the cutest, most innocent possible way. So empowering. And then it basically says you will bring them out of the dark side. It's like somewhere deep inside them there lurks an inner child. Your kindness will unbind their thistles, thorns, and beastly briars. It's like you are the key as a child to unlock the inner child of the adults around you. And it's what we all want, dear child. So please unlock me. Unlock me. And I think that's why so many mature people, myself included, just get so much joy being with their grandkids. It's like it skips a generation. Like we're just so consumed with raising our children, and we're responsible for how they turn out. But a grandchild is nothing but cake and cookies, my friends. And bedtimes, what? No, there. Yes, another story. Let's read one. So you just get permission to tap into your inner child and empower those young kids in your life to unfreeze your heart with their smiles and just their bubbling joy. And, you know, there's just so much joy packed into Eric's poem. I loved every bit of it.
Absolutely, me too. Yeah, I loved story time with my kids when they were younger. I don't get that anymore, and I don't have any grandkids, and hopefully I'm not honestly close to having any because my kids are still kind of young, you know, but early 20s and late teens. So, but yeah. I have to say, you know, that joy, like when I go to visit my younger nieces and nephews, I just find so much joy in their imaginations. But wonderful comment there, Barb. And Robbie, your thoughts?
Well, the focus I saw some of the most on in the poem was sort of the idea of I like how it had a more direct connection. It's like his inner child talking to a child. Because I think a lot of times in poems like this or in fiction or whatever stories, it tends to be more like I'm the adult telling you about what it's like to live as an adult or what I remember from when I was a kid. But in this, it's more of a direct line, and it's something that makes more sense to me. It's like, oh, I remember what it was like to be a kid, so I'll talk to you as my inner child, to you as a child, and say, oh, these are the things that are great about being a kid, and this is what you should, keep forward in mind in life and that. And, yeah, that to me, that as a narrative, that smoothed a lot more slowly and made a lot more sense than directly the adults talking to the kids. So I thought that really affected the tone of the narrative and set it apart from what other poems like this tend to be like.
That is so true, and great observation there, because yeah, there is more of a direct connection between the actual child and the poet's inner child. So very cool. And Jean, are you back with us?
I am now.
All right. Sure. And your thoughts?
You know, I thought this was a wonderful write by Eric, not unlike many of his others, but... I like this. And I got a kind of a chuckle because I thought somewhere in here we could like put Errant Panther's piece and it would somehow fit. You just have to find that right spot, because it had a similar tone to me or thought to me, but I do love this one and the way Eric wrote it. I grabbed it here where it says, best you remain fearless with each new page day. Do your best to fill it with one good story. Never mind the apple. A good story a day keeps the doctor away. Never forget to say thank you. The bigger you open your fancy free but fierce child heart, the more you will teach friends, imaginary and real. Little sapling, you will send down deep roots into humanity. And I had to grab the next one. Funny, isn't it? Books are printed on paper, made from trees. So the deeper you send your keen roots down into people, The happier there a page and day of lives will be. Their sundial smiles will brighten many a cloudy day. I thought it was wonderful. He says so much in this, and he does it well. And I think that's the trick. He did it not only. He states so much, but he just did it in such a fabulous way. And, yeah, I like the inner child speaking to the child. I have to agree with, I'm not sure who said that, because I was trying to, like, catch up. But a great piece, Eric, and thank you so much. Really well penned and presented.
Absolutely. Great comment. Yeah, this is still such delightful words of wisdom throughout. Really heartfelt. And a reminder of yeah. the power of joy and fun. And I really like this all the way through, but I did especially like that Sandra said, friends real and imaginary, fill your day. Never forget that grown-ups were once playful pups too. Wonderful lines and very well done. Great writing there, Eric. All right, so I'm going to put up our last poem for the night, and then the rest will be carryovers. I'm not sure where they will go, but when I know, I will let people know. And our last poem for the night is All Things Around Me by Swan Song. And Robbie, would you give that a read for us, please?
Okay. So this is All the Things Around Me by Swan Song. For a short moment, all I can see is this dragonfly perched upon a tiny stem next to a still pond on a hot day in July. The full clear wings with silver and reds splotches are perfectly still. The large black orbs occasionally move, just a little. The long tail with 7 segments curls upward on occasion, sometimes. If the tiniest of breeze blows, the wings adjust for balance. Across the surface of the pond, swallows swoop rapidly, capturing mosquitoes and damselflies and returning them to their mud again. Near a leaning barn that has yet to fall, a covey of quail rush to the shore and drink with their beaks tilted skyward, then return to the underbrush, their little chirps guiding one another through the maze of tall grasses. The dragonfly sits off the stem and glides quickly over the still water, where a few ducks lay in repose, their bills tucked under a wing. And that is Swan Song by, or sorry, All the Things Around Me by Swan Song.
Great read there, Robbie, and what a wonderful write by Swan Song. Beautiful picture painting. I love, you know, in his words, I love his attention to detail. And he wrote to the quote, "The way you see things depends a great deal on where you look at them from," by Norton Juster. And Jean, your thoughts?
I think it was beautifully descriptive, as Swan Song so often is when he's writing about nature. Wonderful imagery, and I don't know, it was a wonderful, wonderful picture painted. To me, this is a panoramic view. Because as you're reading it, you know, you're moving across your screen of thought, you know, with the different images. So great job, Swan Song, and really well done. I think it was a great take on the prompt as well. Absolutely.
It really was, because a lot of times in nature, we don't always pay attention to the smaller things, but it shows that his photographer's eye. So great comment there. And I did not know that a group of quails was called a covey, so I learned something new there. I always enjoy that. Very cool. And absolutely. Robbie, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Well, I'm wondering what a group of poets is called now. There's no official word for a group of poets, but we'll have to come up with one.
We did. That's a group of poets.
A quill. Yeah, there you go. That's perfect. A quill of poets.
Yeah,
we are a quill of poets tonight.
Give that woman a cookie.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm on a sugar high right now. My brain is
there. I like it. Oh, my God.
So, yeah, with this poem, I really thought a lot about, because this is like a photographic sort of a poem and such, it made me think about some of my own photos that I've taken, like the experience with it. Like I had a dragonfly that it was waiting to come closer, and he literally landed on my leg and looked right up at me. It's like he was posing for me. It's like, okay, go ahead, take a picture. And I thought of this wonderful golden eye duck, and he kept puffing his chest out, so he looked up to the sky, completely up to the sky, just to show off. Look at my chest. And there's just so many wonderful moments you find out, especially when this is something that you do a lot, like I do. There really are just innumerable special moments that come to you when you take that time to look and to see, and a lot of times they come in those unexpected ways, like I said, like with that dragonfly, and but it's kind of like you said, you know, like it's like a panorama in your mind that goes across like the screen in your mind, and I think it's because Swan Song covers so many different types of animals, like insects and birds and everything else, and so because of that, it really makes you feel like you're being taken along, like on a panoramic sort of a shot.
It really does, absolutely. I have to agree with you on that. Wonderful comment. And Barb, would you like to make a comment?
Sure, I'll keep it brief to respect nearing the end of the show, but I thought that this was a fabulous poem by Swan Song, that looked at both the macro and the micro. She zoomed in and out, and I mean, there's so many stanzas, but she really catapulted me into this marsh situation to enjoy all the plants and animals of a marsh. It engaged all of my senses, and just a perfect poem to send me off to La La Land to have sweet dreams of a day in nature. So thank you for that.
Oh, absolutely. I have to agree. Wonderful comment. Yes, this is the type of poem that will give us sweet dreams. So very cool. Great comments, everybody. Wonderful poetry tonight. Wonderful poetry and comments. Thank you, everyone. Thank you to Jean and Barb for being my twisted sisters. And, of course, you know, Robbie, thank you for being our twisted mister. I appreciate you all. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, who was listening while we were on live or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. Our show just wouldn't be the same without you. And, of course, we will find a place for your carryovers or anybody that was not read tonight. So,
absolutely.
Great show. Thank you, everyone.
Great job, Pam. Great show. Great topic.
Thank you. Good night, y'all.
For joining us. Good night.